Hello and welcome to The Culture Shot, your regular fix of what's happening in the world of culture. Brought to you by Midas, the award-winning communications agency specializing in all things culture. I'm your host, Ben Munro Davis. Join me on The Culture Shot to hear me speaking to some of the best creative minds in the business about what's hot in the arts, books, culture, and much more. And today's guest is Bibiana Mass, founder of the independent publisher, Three Times Rebel Press. Bibiana.
Hi, Ben.
What is Three Times Rebel Press?
Okay. What is Three Times Rebel Press? Three Times Rebel Press is an independent publishing business. We know that there's lots of publishing houses around the UK, and this is quite challenging because having a place in there, it's quite difficult, but I want to be there just for the voices that are not heard enough. So I want to give voices to all that is invisible. In this case, I'm only publishing women writers, and that originally write in a minority language.
And where did you get the idea from?
I think that the idea came to me 2 years ago when I had to change my life. I was in charge of my children. I had to go back to work, and I realized that I was invisible, because after looking after my children, home educating them for quite a while, I was, no one could see me again, as a working woman. And at that point, I went back to what I really wanted to do before having children, and it was setting up my own publishing house. And this is something that I couldn't do because I have three daughters, and life is very complicated when you are a mom. And the idea of being invisibilized, it was very tough for me. And this is, everything started in there. So I wanted to give voice to all the women that probably at some point of their lives, they feel like me. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they are moms, maybe because they have to look after someone in the family. We are, as a woman, we always have this burden on us that makes us very difficult to juggle work life and personal life. And it's something that it really pisses me off, sorry, but... and my rage in that moment just became Three Times Rebel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You're talking more about the frustrations of being a woman there, I guess, but...
not being a woman, the frustration of being a woman in this world.
Yes, being a woman in this world. Okay, I apologize as a man. It's all my fault. but you're also talking about minority languages as well. So let's talk about that a bit more. I mean, you're Catalan, correct?
Exactly. And this is exactly why I'm publishing only books written in a minority language. Because I know that being myself from a minority language, I know that they are not seen around the world. We as a in Catalonia, we read a lot of literature in translation, of course, and it's something very common. But I realize I've been living in the United Kingdom for 10 years now, and I know that here is not that common reading translated fiction or whatever. And I think that it's only between 3% or 5% of the literature is in translation, and only less than 40% of it is written by women. So being myself a Catalan, coming from a minority language, it's like, okay, if I'm not doing this, who is going to do that? So if people like me that are more, more keen on this topic, we have to raise our voices ourselves. And I think that is my chance in this world to just give a space to all this amazing literature that is around the world. There's lots of amazing books. And I know that here every time is more slowly literature in translation. It's gaining some more space. I can see it. It's more welcome. And another thing that I like to do in my publishing house is just to, of course, putting the translator's name on the covers, because this is an amazing job. What they do is just they don't, well, being a translator for me is like, I would love to be a translator myself, because they are able to just put all these words in another language just to be able to read to other people that doesn't speak that language without touching the book. And it's amazing. So for me, their role is so important. That's why I decided to put them on the covers as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, your passion is very clear. And of course, in the visual arts, there's a big boon in the original language. I don't know about, well, minority language. I've watched some dramas in Flemish recently. So maybe TV and Netflix have led the way. But let's talk about the impact of minority language. I mean, do you think a book written in a minority language is hugely influenced by that fact? Is that a defining aspect of the work?
It defines the book always, because, you know, what inspires you to write a book is your own place, your own experiences, even though it's fiction. You are based on your local culture always. So for me, someone that reads translation has a chance to live another culture. Maybe it's not that different, but there's always something different in the way that other people think from other countries, from other places. And having a living in a place that doesn't have, you know, a proper space to be, you know, for example, in Catalonia or in lots of other countries in the world, that they don't have a proper nation, that they are always underneath someone else's nation. So this is even more strong. And you can feel that. You can feel that when you read a book written in a minority language, especially if you read, for example, Basque literature. There's always that political thing behind the words, even though nothing is political in the book, always.
And do you think that can sometimes exclude the audience as well as include them? Does that make it feel alien?
It can be challenging, of course, because it's something different, but it's not, you know, it shouldn't exclude anyone. You know, it's like being more open-minded, and translation at the very end is being more open-minded.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting language, isn't it? Because I mean, I've read also that in a way, the study of languages is dying out with Google and AI and Google Translate and the dominance of English. Certainly at schools, people in the UK, I think, are learning languages less and less. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've tapped into?
I can't do anything, you know, because this is how the world goes, and especially in the English-speaking world, you don't need anything else, honestly. With English, you can go everywhere. So that's quite sad, and I see with my own daughters that they don't study enough languages in the schools, and they are not interested, and it's so sad seeing that. It's very different, because for me, learning languages when I was little, it was like something very important. Not only English, of course, English was very important to learn, but all other languages. And here it's like something that is missing. It's like no one is thinking that the value, the big value that speaking another language, because when you know a language, you're able to understand a culture. And this is the main point. If you can't understand properly a culture without speaking the languages.
And tell me about some of the books you've published. So first of all, there's a book called Deadlands, isn't it? Which is in Catalan. Tell me about that.
Well, Deadlands is a very interesting book. It talks about the burdens that the family puts on you, not good ones. Yeah, it's the weight of the family, the weight of the patriarchy that suffocates the women that they are in the story. And it's a choral book. So it has different characters, and through them you see how the story goes on, and you know everything in different perspectives from the different characters, and it all starts with a murder that it's just in the first pages, so I'm not spoiling it, and slowly you can reveal what's going on in them, but it's it's a very interesting book because it's you can feel it, you can taste it, you can smell it.
And tell me about the author.
Nuria Bendicho. She's very young. She is a very intelligent woman, and everyone in Catalonia, it was like a kind of a revelation because no one knew her before, and it was like a kind of a word of mouth thing. And slowly, she's been building up her own very good reputation as a writer.
And we talked about earlier, what's Catalan about it, would you say?
Probably the way they live, the rural settings. There's few very Catalan things in there, like the food, for example.
But there's not a political narrative. There's not a
This is
a universal story.
Totally. Totally. It's more the local things that you can feel that they are different, but you totally understand them. So it's not political at all. Okay. The political of this book is just the weight of the patriarchy that is universal.
you keep reminding me. And then I saw the other book you've published, Mothers Don't, which is in Basque. Tell me about that book and about the author.
Okay, the author, she's Katisha Aguirre. She's Basque. And, well, this book, it's about motherhood and obviously about the dark side of motherhood. So you will see that all my books, they are a little bit dark. Sometimes, or the topics are quite tough, and in this case is all about the postnatal depression and how the world can't fit someone that is a new mother, and how a mother can struggle through maternity, you know, through the motherhood, all the process and all the changes, and how these mothers are left out. And in this case is a kind of a crime book because it starts with a crime as well. It's just in the first pages. So it's just a mother kills her babies, okay? Because she has that depression. And basically it's the story about the protagonist of the book that gets tangled through this story about that woman that murders the baby, and is all a reflection, trying to understand what happened in there. And at the same time that the protagonist of the book, she's a new mother as well. So it's like kind of a parallelism between the feelings of that mom that kills the babies, and herself, and how devastating can be being a mother at the same time, and how you have to choose always if the children goes first or your life goes first, and all the difficulties. But you know, it's a very well written book. It's like a journalistic chronicle. At the same time, it's very, you laugh as well. You laugh when you read this book as well, and even though it's tough. But Katisha knows very well how to explain things, and she has a very a hidden sense of humor in there. Dark humor.
Yeah, I mean, there are two themes coming through in your work: minority languages and patriarchy, and women. Do you think, because minority languages tend to be more closed societies, if you like, do you think the patriarchy is stronger in those cultures than it is in English society, for example?
No. This is exactly the same everywhere. But this is something that I think that being a woman in this world is not easy. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens around. So that's why the topics will be, for example, these two books, The Weight of the Patriarchy, The Dark Side of Motherhood, that it's the same. So it's a world that it's thought for men, and women don't fit in there. If we want to be mothers, if we don't want to be mothers, we will always be judged for example, other topics that we will have in other Free Time Rebel books. It will be, for example, growing older as a woman, having the menopause. This is something that it's always hidden, you know. We women don't change. We suddenly disappear and we are not attractive anymore. It's all these topics that mainly affect women. Mm-hmm. But the books can be read by everyone because this is the point. Just opening the minds. Yeah, also.
Three times rebel is for men too.
That's what exactly.
And Bibiana, where's the best place to find out about your books?
You can go the website, our website, Three Times Rebel Press. Of course, we have all the information in there. Of course, they are in Amazon. You can find them in Waterstones, in Foils, in local bookshops. But yes, if you want information about the books, the best place to find it is in Three Times Rebel website.
Brilliant. Bibiana, thank you so much for talking to The Culture Shot.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's been so lovely.